Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shkalim is Tesvav. We just did the Mishnah yesterday on Yudal Amud Beis. The Mishnah. Mishnah taught us exactly how the person is going to go to the Beis Hamikdash and buy his Nesachim. The animal probably he'll supply himself, but in terms of the Nesachim he's got to buy from the Beis Hamikdash. And we learned yesterday the actual purchasing process of buying the Nesachim. You're going to buy a token, and once you have a token, then you go and redeem it for the Nesachim. The Mishnah taught us that there really are four tokens when purchasing the Nesachim. Why four tokens? So as we pointed out yesterday, really there are only three types of Nesachim that you're going to get. One is going to be for the large animal, right? Well, the token is described as being the eagle, but that token is going to be able to purchase for you a Nesachim that's going to be good for any large animal. It's going to be made up of three asronim of flour, half of it a hin of oil, and half of a hin of wine. That is one. The second of the tokens is going to be called a zachar. That's a ram, a sheep after its first year, meaning any time it's entered into its second year and beyond. So the male sheep. So it's called a ram. It's called an isle. And for that, the Nesachim are going to be a little bit larger. It's going to be two asronim of flour. It's going to be a little bit smaller. Sorry. We're working backwards. It's going to be two asronim of flour. It's going to be a third of a hin of oil and a third of a hin of wine. And then finally, there's going to be the gedi. The gedi is basically a sheep or a goat. So for there, it is going to be one asron of flour, quarter of a hin of oil, and a quarter of a hin of wine. Those are your three possibilities in Sachem. So what's the fourth token? So the fourth token, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, so that's going to be what's called the Chote. That's for the Mitzorah. The Mitzorah, at the conclusion of his Tzaraz, goes through the Tahara process. And the Tahara process is going to require three animals, which are going to be totaling 9 log of oil. So why does there have to be a separate token for the Mitzorah? Just simply purchase three tokens. So the Gemara says, because when it comes to the Mitzorah, he actually has an additional log shemen. That's going to be for the application of his thumb, toe, and right ear lobe. So because his Nesachim are going to look just a little bit different in that it's got its additional log shemen. So therefore, that's the fourth token. Good. So that's what the Mishnah taught us yesterday regarding the purchasing of tokens and the redemptions of tokens in terms of purchasing your Nesachim. With that stated, we're going to just move right to the Gemara. The Gemara starts off the discussion in the following location. In order to understand the Gemara's question, so Benazai actually has a fifth token. The fifth token is for the Mitzorah who is a Dal, a poor Mitzorah, the Torah for a person who's concluding his Saras and going through the Taras of Mitzorah. So if he is Dal, if he's poor, if he's in a certain bracket, a socioeconomic bracket, so the Torah gives him a financial break, and he only needs to bring a pair of birds. One bird's going to be a chatos, the other word's bird's going to be an ola, and then he's got to bring an animal as an asham. Now, there are no nesachim that come together with birds, so the only thing, therefore, he needs to bring is only the nesachim for his asham. So why, according to Benazai, does the nesachim of the Mitzorah Dal need its own token? And for that matter, why, according to the Chachamim, does the Mitzorah Dal not have his own token? That's basically the Gemara's question, and the Gemara is asking exactly that. Ula Benazai Chote Dalama. Why do I have a Chote Dal Haya? Maybe Lugomo, because according to Benazai, the Mitzorah's Dal is going to be purchasing with his token not only the Nesachim for his one animal that requires Nesachim, but on top of that also is going to come the Log Shemen together with it. So it is unique because it is not just a Nesachim for his one animal, but together with it, it's a Log Shemen. And then, of course, it begs the question, well, if that's correct, so what do you say for the Chachamim? So, Baram Birabana Mevi Gedi. According to the Chachamim, there's no need for that. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, he just simply purchases, our Dal Mitzorah is going to be purchasing the Gedi token. That'll satisfy the Nesachim for his one animal. And as far as his Log Shemen, that he's going to bring from his own home. Okay, and right, slightly difficult to understand the Shita of the Chachamim, meaning if the whole purpose over here is that Nesachim not be brought from your own home, and even the Log Shaman, so then how come the Chachamim allow our Mitzvah Dal to do so? Okay, and probably the answer has something to do, the Gemara doesn't really articulate, but probably the answer has something to do with the fact that because he's a Dal, so therefore the Chachamim basically give him every financial break possible, and if he could bring the Log Shaman from his home, that is going to be slightly cheaper, so the Chachamim allow that to be done. Okay, one last quick discussion the Gemara is going to have regarding this process of Nesachim, and that's going to be the following. Niske Rachel Bekama. Okay, so let's say the Nesachim of a U-E-W-E. So female sheep. So we know that when it comes to a male sheep, so there's a difference between a Gedi and an Ayah. Gedi is a sheep within its first year. Once it celebrates its first birthday, and now it's in its second year, so now it's called an Ayah. So, and as we learned in the Mishnah, so the Nesachim is going to be different for a Gedi and an Ayah, as we just went over in the beginning of Shir today. So, much like we know that there's a difference in Nesachim regarding a 1 year old and a 2 year old. I say 1 year one year old. I mean in its first year. Much like there's a difference between a 1 year old and a 2 year old by a male sheep. Is the same thing going to be true regarding a female sheep? Is there a difference between a 1 year old and a 2 year old? That's the Gemara's question over here. So Niske Rachel Bekama. So Min Ma De Tanina. So the Gemara says, okay. So let's take a look together at the following, which is Gidim Mishamish Niske Tzon Gidol Mkitanim Ezechaim Nekevos. Meaning the Mishnah says that when it comes to a Gidi, so you're going to be using Nesachim of Tzon, whether it be large or small. Whether it be male or female, so So it certainly sounds like that when it comes to the token of Gedi, that's going to be used for both male and female, regardless of the age of the female. And the Gemara points out that not only does the Mishnah make it sound like when it comes to a female sheep, it makes no difference with the age in terms of the Nesachim that you buy. It's also going to be clear from the following Brisa. Dichsiv, the Brisa writes, Kacha, Yasel Lashur, Ha'achadola, Ayla'achadola, Sebek Savim, O Ba'izim. The Torah in Parsha Shlach goes through the Parsha of the Nesachim, right? It's a really unusual placement in the Torah for the Parsha of Nesachim, the instructions of the Nesachim. It's right after the story of the Meraglim. But anyway, the Lashur Echad Laminamar, and the Gemara is now going to be darshing the Pasuk. So it says, Lashur Ha'echad. So there's one set of Nesachim for the Shur. So why does the Torah say that? Magish Lochilek, Bein Niske Egel and Niske Shur. When it comes to a large animal, meaning cattle, so there, it doesn't matter whether it's in its first year, whether it's in its second year, it's always going to be the same amount. Shahaya Bedin, I might have thought to make a distinction, Ben Hatzon Tau Nesachim, look, sheep require nesachim and cattle require nesachim. So by sheep, we know there's a difference between a 1 year old and a 2 year old. So as we now turn to the top of Tesvav Amad Aleph, so therefore I might have thought that there should be a difference between a 1 and 2 year old when it comes to cattle. So Tamalomar therefore the Torah comes to tell us that there is no difference when it comes to cattle, meaning it's going to be for Nesachim one size fit all in terms of cattle, regardless of age. Next part of the Braisa, Olayo Lamanemar. Why does it say Olayo? Shaya Bedin, I might have thought the following. Im Matzil Shechilik Ben Niske Ben Shanol Niske Ben Shnasayim, Lakach Nachlog Ben Niske Shnasayim Niske Shalosh. Look, by sheep, my male sheep, we know there's a difference between a 1 year old and 2 year old versus the quantity of Nesachim. I might have thought that there should be a difference between a 2 year old and a 3 year old. Maybe a 3 year old, meaning when we say 3 year old, we mean a sheep in its third year. Maybe its Nesachim should actually even be more. So Tamalamar Ola Ayil HaAchad. So the Ayil HaAchad is coming to tell me that no, that once the sheep, now the male sheep is 2 years and above, or within its second year and above, so now the Nesachim is going to be at a constant. It's going to be at a steady. Olaset Baksavim. And now we're up to the next part of the Braisa. Why does it say Lamanemar? Why does it say Olaset Baksavim? Shayabadin imatsin shechilik beniske kefis leniske ayo. Just like there's a difference between a 1 year old, 2 year old when it comes to the male sheep. So the kach nachlog beniske kisba, Liniske Rachel. So maybe the same thing should be true by a female sheep. There should be a difference between Niske Kisva, that's the 1 year old, and Niske Rachel, that's the 2 year old female. So Tamalamar Ola Seba Kisavim. So that's where it's coming to teach me. Now really, that part of the Braisa, which has just made our point. Meaning the Gemara wanted to know that when it comes to a female sheep, is there a difference between a 1 year old and 2 year old? So we already answered no, but we fortify the answer by this section of the Braisa, where the Braisa says clearly that there is no difference between a 1 and 2 year old when it comes to a female sheep. Oh, by Izim, but we're going to finish the Braisa now. The Braisa says, oh, by Izim, lama namar. Why does it say, oh, by Izim, shaya bedin? Because one might have thought, ima tzina shechilik bein niske kefes leniske ayo, lakach nachlok bein niske gedil lenichse tayish. I might have thought that just like by sheep, there's a difference between a 1 year old and 2 year old. By goats, there's also going to be a difference between a 1 year old and a 2 year old by goats. So, tamalamar, oh, by Izim, hikish katan shabizim, lakado shabatayashim. So, mazeb shoshalugin, avzeb shoshalugin. So just like when it comes to the A's, so it's going to be 3 lugin, so too by the Tayish, which is the older goat, it's also going to be gimel lugin, it's also going to be 3 lug of wine. Adkan, that takes us to the end of that braisa. Vishim ayam kosov. Now, when you're buying the tokens, so obviously you're going to buy the tokens, you're going to redeem it that very day. How do we know that maybe there's somebody who's going to create a secondary market scalping tokens? So what they would do is that they would write the name of the day on the token in order to make sure that nobody would be deceiving. So Agabat Machash Zigo So Ayam. So the Gemara says, okay, so you write the name of the day. That's great. You really haven't prevented scalpers out there. In other words, what you could do is the following week he's going to come back and he'll sell it. Now, right, if we just thought about it for a moment, what's the purpose of buying a token only to resell it? Maybe because of fluctuation in price, maybe. I'm not really sure. But anyway, but regardless, so the Gemara is bothered. So he'll just come back next week on the same day. So the Gemara says, Shem Mishmar Yakosav Allah. So the Gemara says, yeah, but not only is the name of the day written on the token, but also the name of the Mishmar. As we know, there are a rotation of 24 families of Kohanim, each one of them serving in the Beis HaMikdash 1 week. So that means that when you're writing the day and you're writing the name of the Mishmar, so yes, you can come back, but only 25 weeks from now on the same day, and then you can go ahead and you can you could use the token then. So Agabat Machashizigo So Mishmar. So the Gemara says, okay, but at least 25 weeks later, you could go ahead and you can resell your token. So Shema Yom Shema Shabbat Shem Kodesh Haya Kasev Alayim. So the Gemara says, okay, it's actually pretty straightforward. You write the name of the day and the name of the week. The name of the month. So you write all that information on the token. So I feel the rotz lezayik, game of lezayik. So now at that point in time, you're not going to be able to reuse it. Meaning you're not going to have another week with the confluence of this mishmar, this day, this week, this month. So you're not going to have it again. So, okay. So you, for the most part now, have done away with anyone who is looking to try to play games with these tokens, with these receipts. We are up to the fourth Mishnah here in the fifth parak of Shkalim. The Mishnah starts off. Hashtei lishkos hayu b'mikdash. There were two chambers in the base of Mikdash. Ashkas lishkas chashayim v'achas lishkas akela. So one is called the secret chamber. Secret, not a good translation, but you'll see what I mean in just a moment. And the other is the lishkas akela, one for the kelim. Now lishkas chashayim. Now as far as this secret chamber is concerned. So secret meaning the following. So here's what would happen, and that is people who had a particular Yira Shamayim, so they would give donations and they would put it in this chamber. And the poor people would come and they would take money from Sukka from this chamber. Meaning basically this chamber served as a middleman in order so that tzedakah could be given anonymously, right? We know when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, so the highest level of giving tzedakah, is making somebody independent and giving somebody a parnasa, an opportunity to support himself. But below that, just below that, the highest level of donating is when you have anonymity on both sides, meaning the donor does not know who the receiver is and the receiver doesn't know who the donor is. Well, the only way you could do that is only when you have a middleman. And so this Lishkas Chashai is basically serving as a middleman to achieve tzedakah on this very high level. So Kol Mishum is Nadev Kli, anyone who was going to be, that's the Lishkas Chashai. Now, Lishkas HaKelim. Now we move on to the next Lishka that happens to be right adjacent to it. And that is Kol Shehu Miznadiv Kli, anyone who's offering a Kli to the Beis HaMikdash, Zorcha L'Socha. Meaning that you're not giving money, you just happen to have a Kli that you have no longer any use for, and now you turn around and give it to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what's the Beis HaMikdash going to do with this Kli? The Mishnah goes on to describe. So, Zorcha L'Socha V'Achaz L'Shoshim Yom, once every 30 days, a Gizbarim post can saw, the Gizbarim would open up this particular chamber, V'Chol Kli Shedimtza Bot Zorcha L'Bedek HaBayis, and any Kli that where there's an actual need for the actual temple upkeep itself, meaning if it's a tool that has utility towards the Beis HaMikdash, so, they would just simply leave the Kli there as is. V'hashar, but any Kli that does not have any direct utility towards the Beis HaMikdash, so Nimkarim, they would sell that Kli. Udameim, Oflim, Lebedek HaBayis, where the funds would go to the Bedek HaBayis, meaning general temple upkeep. Good, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara now is going to use our Mishnah as a fantastic opportunity to go ahead now and describe the mitzvah of tzedakah. So over here now in today's daf, so a good part of today's daf all the way till the end of the perek. So we're going to hear many halakhas and many stories about the giving of tzedakah. Our Mishnah, the truth of the matter is at the tail end of the perek. So we're going to be discussing the end of the Mishnah regarding the Lishkas HaKelim. But for the most part, however, we're going to be talking from here until the end of the perek about the mitzvah of tzedakah. We start off with the following. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Yitzhak bar Nachman, Havu Parnasim. So we're describing two Amoraim who were, they were leaders. Vahavu Yahavin le Rabbi Chama, Avu de Rabbi Yoshua, Dinar vahu Yaiv le Lecharanin. And what they would do is that they would give money to Rabbi Chama, the father of Rabbi Yoshua, and then he would give it to others. Basically, what they would do is that they would use a middleman in terms of giving tzedakah, and again for the purpose of discretion, making sure that the donor does not know who the receiver is, the receiver doesn't know who the donor is, and once again, this is the highest level of tzedakah. Rabbi Zecharia Chasne de Rabbi Leva Yukol Melizan Alav. So as far as Zecharia, who happened to have been the son-in-law of Rabbi Levi. So people were gossiping about him. Amen de lo tzarech v'nasiv, because what happens is that he's going and he's collecting tzedakah, and meanwhile, he doesn't need tzedakah. And so rumors abound about this individual. And when he died, so batim vashkin davam mafgle lecharanin. And what it turns out is that it was discovered after he died that he actually distributed the money to others. So in other words, what he was really doing was facilitating the distribution of tzedakah, but he wasn't actually taking it for himself. Okay, it is a really interesting story. The Gemara doesn't follow up on the story. But you got to wonder, we learned in this very Masechta, it was an important point that has been repeated already a couple times in this Masechta, that when you operate, you have to be above suspicion. Meaning, despite the fact that he was a hidden tzaddik, that's a wonderful story that he was a hidden tzaddik. But the idea that he operated where he was not above suspicion, but he was right in the crosshairs of suspicion, where he took money. He didn't explain to people that he gave it to other, he gave it away tzedakah. And he gave everybody the misimpression that he kept it for himself. And only after he died was it discovered that he actually distributed it to other people. Again, it's a wonderful story. It's a really nice story, but aren't you supposed to live a life that goes above any kind of suspicion? So the Gemara doesn't follow it up, and it definitely deserves, it needs some form of an explanation in terms of, is the Gemara saying this in a praiseworthy manner? Is the Gemara just simply telling a story? Okay, so it needs more clarification, and quite frankly, I don't have more clarification. It definitely is something to consider. The next story the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Chanina bar Papa hava mafik mitzvah balayla. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa would give up tzedakah at night, and chazman pagebe rabun deruchaya, and he met a ruach ra. So he met some sort of bad spirit at night. So amar lelo lo kain alfan Rabbi, and now a conversation between the shade and Rabbi Chinana. And the shade says to Rabbi Chinana, right, didn't you learn the following, or didn't you teach lo sasig vo reecha? Torah says that you're not allowed to encroach on your neighbor's property. And basically, what the shade is saying now to Rabbi Chinana, you're encroaching on my property, meaning nighttime, that's when the shadim are out. You can't be out at night. So Amalei, so the response Rabbi Chinna says in his defense, below King Siv, a matam b'sefer yach ve'af, the Pasuk of Mishlei says that when you're matam b'sefer, when you give secretly, what it's going to do is it's going to overturn af. Af over here, right, af could mean in reference to the shadim, meaning it could be anger, but it also could be a reference to the shadim, meaning, look, I'm doing the mitzvah of tzedakah, and that's going to trump your right to be out at night. So v'havim mistafim minei, and the Gemara concludes that the shade, when he hears this, so he was afraid of Rabbi Chinana, va'arik min kumin, he runs away from him. So basically, Rabbi Chinana, with the schus of the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, so he basically chased away the shade. Am Rabbi Yonah, the Gemara tells another story. So Ashrei Nosen Ladal Ink Siv Khan. Now, if you look carefully at the pasuk, we're going to be quoting a pasuk in Tehillim. So the pasuk does not say Ashrei Nosen Ladal. That's not what the pasuk says. Rather, El Ashrei Maskil Eldal. That when you fortunate somebody who is maskil, meaning that when he gives to the poor, he does so with seichel. He does so thoughtfully, with consideration. And Zeusha Mistaka ben Mitzvah Hechla Sosa. The person now is going to be considering exactly how to do the mitzvah. Ketzad Haya Rabbi Yonah Osa. So the Gemara now points out Rabbi Yonah when he would give tzedakah. So what would he do? Chesha Haya Roa Ani Ben Tovim Shiyard Menachasav. He sees somebody who is a poor person who had money, but unfortunately he lost it. And Haya Omer Lo. So Rabbi Yonah would say the following Bini. So Bishvil Sheshamati Shenaflacha Yerusha Mimakam Acher. I heard that you are getting money from another location. Meaning, I know that you're going to be inheriting money. So I know currently right now you are in a destitute position, but you're going to inherit. So tolva ad pareah. So right now you'll take this money and eventually you're going to pay back when the inheritance comes. So, right. And basically what Rabbi Yoni is doing over here is that he is making the person feeling better about having to receive charity. It's remarkably humble to have to receive charity. And basically what he did is that he did it b'seichel. He did it intelligently and with consideration. And now, min da'ava nasiv. So once the person took the money, so hava amale. So then what Rabbi Yonah would say at a subsequent period of time is, matani hilach. Look, I know you're not able to pay me back. Okay, fine. So let's call it a gift. Knowing from the beginning that it was going to be a gift, knowing from the beginning it was going to be tzedakah, but he just softened the giving by right. Let's just I'll say it bluntly, by making up a story It is possible that he was going to inherit money, and he softened it by giving it in that manner. And again, the Gemara talks about how this is a gift giving, which is considering the feelings and the emotions of the recipient. Gemara tells another story. Chia bar Ada is havasavim biyomainan. So there were older people in his day. Man davi lahon mi beresh shasal etzuma raba. If tzedakah was given to them between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, havan isbin, so they would accept it. But min basar kain lo havan isbin. But after Yom Kippur is over, they wouldn't accept tzedakah. Armin de shasa gaban, and they would say that look, the year is already. The year is already planned for us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Our year is set between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And so after Yom Kippur, they said, look, we simply won't receive the tzedakah. We won't accept the tzedakah because whatever we're going to get is going to be determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, yes, another challenging bit of Gemara, meaning one could simply argue that part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu deemed for them to receive is also going to be part of the tzedakah. Okay, so that part for sure is a little bit challenging, but still, they had that level of emunah that after Yom Kippur, they said, okay, any more money that we're going to receive, it's going to come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, and how did they eat? And if they needed tzedakah, again, it's a bit of a challenging story, but it speaks to powerful emunah that they had. Nechemiah, another story the Gemara is going to tell. Nechemiah Yishichin Pagabo Yerushalmi Echad. So Nechemiah was a ish shichin. He dug ditches, and he was met by Yerushalmi, right? A native to Yerushalayim. So Amalei Zachi Amachadat Tanagolasa, and the poor person said to Nechemiah, he said, "Look, I want you to be zocha by giving to me." Okay, and it's I know we say it, but here the Yerushalmi says it very clearly that when you give tzedakah, so it's a zchus, meaning obviously it's a zchus to receive tzedakah, meaning but to be the giver of tzedakah, so it's a tremendous zchus. So right, it sounds kitschy, it sounds a little cliche, but basically the poor person is saying to Rabbi Nechemia, right, I want to give you the honor, I want to give you the zchus of giving me tzedakah, but he's very specific about what he wants. He wants to eat chicken. Now, Amar Leh, so Nechemia says the following. Now, to understand the story, so just one fact, which is a little bit strange because it's literally the opposite of our economics, and that is that back then chickens were much more expensive than meat, right? Nowadays, it's exactly the opposite. Chicken is cheap and meat is expensive. But anyway, so Amar Leh, so Nechemia says to the Yerushalmi, Ha lo tumisa du kupar. I'm sorry, Ha lach tumisa du kupar. Here's enough money. So what you could do is that you could buy meat. Meaning, I'm not gonna fund your expensive tastes. You want to eat chicken? Chicken's more expensive. I'm not funding that. I'll give you enough for meat. That should be fine. V'zachin kupad v'achel umes. Now, this poor person was not used to eating meat. This poor person was used to eating chicken. And with the eating of meat, so he just simply, it was something so unusual for him that he died. Nechemia was crying out. I mean, you can only imagine how guilty he felt. Meaning, that's exactly what the Yerushalmi asked. He asked for chicken, and Nechemia refused to give it to him, feeling that was not necessary and it'd be a waste of tzedakah money. But meanwhile, now understandably, Nechemia felt terrible. He felt unbelievably guilty. And Balvisifto laharugisha Nechemia, and he says that I killed the poor person. Now, obviously, the Gemara here doesn't mean it literally. Meaning he didn't literally kill him, but by virtue of the fact that he didn't comply with the wishes of the poor person, and he didn't give him what the poor person actually requested, so he had some responsibility in the death of this poor person. And the Gemara ends the story over there. Gemara tells another story. Nachimish Gamzu hayamolach doron lebeis chamav. So Nachimish Gamzu was in the middle of bringing a gift over to his father-in-law, and pagabo mukashchinachad, and he met a poor person, a poor person who also happened to have been suffering from mukashchin. He had boils. So Amalei. So the man said to Nachemish Gamzu, Zachi imi mimadi iskabech. So I want you to be zochah together with me. Meaning, right? I need a handout, and I want to give you this chos of giving me tzedakah. So Amalei mechzor, and Nachemish Gamzu says, when I come back, I'm going to give you. Meaning right now, I'm heading to my father-in-law's house, and everything I have right now, I was planning on giving to my father-in-law. So right now is not a good time, but when I come back, I'm going to for sure give you. So, Chazar, now when he comes back, Ashkechei v'meis. So a real tragic ending to this story as well, like the previous story. And that is that on his return, so the poor person's dead. V'hava amal kablein. And Nachemish Gamzu would say the following to literally the face of this poor man, but unfortunately this poor man is no longer with us. So perhaps he's talking to the Aron. Not clear. Whatever. The point is that he was suffering terrible guilt, and he's now going to petition. He's going to ask that Akash Baruch Hu give him Yisurim. Now this is obviously going to be a very difficult Gemara. This Gemara, the previous Gemara, difficult Gemara is over here. But Nachemish Gamzu felt that now because of his reluctance of giving tzedakah immediately and hesitating in giving the tzedakah and being somewhat responsible for the death of this individual. So Nachemish Gamzu felt that the true kapara that he's going to receive is only going to be with Yisurim. And so he asked the following. So the eye that saw you and didn't immediately react and respond and give you tzedakah, so that I should become blind. So he's asking Akash Baruch Hu to blind him. And Yadei de lo pasha meta la yitkaon. And the hands that didn't give you the tzedakah, they should be cut off. And raglai de lo ra'atan la meta lachit barun. And the legs that didn't run to give you tzedakah, so they should be broken. Umatete kain. And everything that Nachemish Gamzu asked for, so he received. Meaning he received the blindness, the loss of his hands, and the loss of his legs. So salag lagabi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva goes and visits him. Amar lei. And Rabbi Kiva now is bemoaning. Rabbi Kiva, who generally speaking is a person of great optimism. So a couple times in this Masechta, we saw Rabbi Kiva have moments where he's down. And quite understandably, Rabbi Akiva, when he sees his Rabbi Nachamish Gamzu, he sees him in this condition. So Rabbi Akiva now is bemoaning. So Amarlei Nachamish Gamzu has a very sharp response to Rabbi Akiva. Oili she'ina niro osa bekach. You know, it's unfortunate that I don't see you in this very state as well. So Amarlei, so Rabbi Akiva says, Ma'at mekalani. So understanding, Rabbi Akiva says, whoa. All right, I'm just trying to give some sort of nechama. And meanwhile, you're cursing me? So Amarlei, uma'at minvab yisurim. So Nachamish Gamzu says to Rabbi Akiva, look, this is yisurim. Yisurim is a good thing. And so just because now I'm experiencing the Yisurim, so you're looking at me with pity and poverty, you shouldn't look at me that way. Person's experiencing Yisurim, that's a good thing. Okay. Obviously, these are people that are on extraordinarily high madrega, and so that's the kind of reaction they have to Yisurim. And even Rabbi Akiva, just if we can fathom, it's right, it's just amazing stories. Even Rabbi Akiva had lessons to learn regarding Yisurim and how critically important it is to have these kinds of Yisurim. Another story, Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Chaza, Rabbi Debrei Chad Sagid Nahora. So Rabbi Yoshia Rabbi. So it happens to be that the one who taught his son happened to have been blind. V'hava yalef echolim ibechol yom. Rabbi Yoshia was eating with the Rebbe, with the blind Rebbe, on a daily basis. So Chazman Havalei Orchin. Now it happened to have been that Rabbi Yoshia one time had guests, and he wasn't eating with the blind Rebbe. So that evening Rabbi Yoshia went to go visit the blind Rebbe. Apparently he wanted to apologize for not being there. So Amalei, so Lo Yichos Mari Alai, please don't be angry with me. Began to have a lay orchin yumadain. I happen to be that guest today, and that's why I didn't come over. So Darmitala lives would be a covered Damari Yumadain. So I felt that that your honor may have been slighted. So began Kane Lo Achalt Imari Yumadain. And that's why I didn't eat with you today. So Amarle, so the blind teacher said to Rabbi Yoshia, Atapa Yasalamanda Mitzchame Vlochame. So you appease a person who is seen but cannot see. So Dein Dechame Velo Mitzchame Mikaba Piyuscha. The one who sees but cannot be seen, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he should be appeased by you as well. So basically the blind Rebbe gave Rabbi Yoshia a bracha, a beautiful bracha. So Amar Lei Hadam Inalach. Rabbi Yoshia was so impressed with the bracha. So he asked the blind Rebbe, where did you learn such a beautiful bracha? So Amar Lei, may Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. I learned from Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov al chad de saginor lekarte. A blind man went to go visit Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the city. And Yasav lay Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov l'ramine. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov sat directly below the blind man. Now the blind man obviously didn't know that. It was obviously his inability to see. So he didn't know that. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov made sure to position himself directly below the blind man. De yemrun, so that people would say the following. Ilule dehavet barnasha rabba, had it not been for the fact that this person, meaning the blind person, is great, lo yasev le Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov le ramine. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov wouldn't be sitting right next to him. And so therefore Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov wanted to give his own chashivas, extend his own chashivas over to this blind person. So Abdullah Parnasa Diikar. And so once they saw that this blind person had such clout, so what everyone did is they gave him a Parnasa. Who knows, maybe a partnership, whatever the case is. But basically he got a Parnasa because now he was associated with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. I'm alone. Now the blind person wondered, Mahu Hachim, what's going on over here? How come everyone's giving me Parnasa? I don't understand what just happened over here. So Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Yasav L'Raminach. So it was explained to So they explained back to him, is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Yasav L'Raminach. It's because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov sat next to you. Vitzalu Yilav Echad Atzlusa. So when he realized that, so he said the following tefillah, Tzlusa and Aramaic is tefillah. So he said the following tefillah. Ata gamalta chesel amanda maschame v'lochame. You, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, gave chesed to the one who is seen but cannot see, meaning myself. So dein dechame delo maschame igmol yaseh chesed. The one who sees but cannot be seen, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he should give chesed to you. So this is the origination of the bracha that was given by this blind person to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, ultimately was passed on to this blind Rebbe who gave the same bracha to Rabbi Yoshia. Gemara continues, we're going to skip the word Dilma. So Rabbi Chama bar Chinna of Rabbi Oshia have a mitailim be'ilen kenishta delod. So we have two Amorayim, Rabbi Chama and Rabbi Oshia, who were they were going in the shul in Lod, and Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chinna Rabbi Oshia kama mamon shiku avasaykan. So much money was sunk into the shul. Meaning this, it's a beautiful shul. It must have cost a lot of money. So Amar Lei, so Rav Oshia's response, Kam nefasha shikov v'secha kan. Right, the shul, a lot of money is put into the shul over here, and as a result of that, a lot of people were sacrificed. Meaning, instead of the tzedakah going to the shul, the tzedakah could have been given to poor people. Lo hava is b'nei nashde di yilun ba'oraisa. There were a lot of people who were studying Torah, meaning the tzedakah would have been much better served having been given to Talmidei Chachamim rather than just simply making a more beautiful shul. And the lesson of the Gemara is pretty obvious, which is that obviously building a beautiful shul is a value, but making sure that people are being supported when they dedicate themselves to the study of Torah, so then it has a higher value. Rabban Avon Avon Ilan Tarei. Rabbi Avon donated a lot of money so that there would be very nice doors to the shuls. We turn to the Amud Beis of today's daf and the Sidra Rabba, right? Some sort of yeshiva. And Asa Rabbi Mana Lagabe, Rabbi Mana comes and Amalei, and Rabbi Avon says to Rabbi Mana, Chame Mayavidit, look what I did over here. Like, isn't it nice? So Amalei, so Rabbi Mana says back to Rabbi Avon, So he quotes a pasuk from Moshe. Basically, it's tochacha, it's Musar. And he says, look, what they did is that they forgot a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they're making shuls, meaning they're building shuls, but that's lovely. You don't have people over here who are studying Torah, meaning tzedakah would have been better served being given to people who are studying Torah. And not just to make nicer shuls. Okay, so that was a lot of Gemaras regarding the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, various issues of giving, giving with discretion, giving intelligently, having consideration of the recipient, priorities in terms of where tzedakah should be given. So many stories over here are recorded in terms of the mitzvah of tzedakah, right? A big part of today's daf. Okay, we are just finishing up over here the perek. Tani, the Gemara quotes now the following brisa. Kachi mizbech motzi nesaroi lahem mikachi bedek abayis. Ein kachi bedek abayis motzi nesaroi lahem lekachi mizbech. So in terms of the funds of the Beis HaMikdash, you have what's called kachi mizbech. That's basically your shkalim that are given. So those funds are going to be towards the purchasing of karbanos. So that has the status of kachem mizbeach. And of course, you have funds which is called kachem bedek habayis, which we just went over in our very own Mishnah. And that's basically temple upkeep. Anytime that the Beis HaMikdash is going to need upkeep, it's going to constantly need upkeep. So those funds are what's called kachem bedek habayis. And what we just learned together in this price is the following. That if in the event that we ran out of money for kachem mizbeach, so what we could do is we could divert kachem bedek habayis funds and move that over to Kachem Mizbeach, but you can't go in the other direction. You can't use Kachem Mizbeach money and divert that to Kachem Bedek Habayis. The Gemara says, good. That's what we just learned. Hatanina, the Gemara says, our Mishnah seems not to support that idea. Because you look back at our Mishnah, Klisha Matsubo Tzorch Lebedek Habayis, Menichin Oso, V'Asharnim Karin, U'Demeim Noflum Lebedek Habayis. So our Mishnah says that when you have the Lishkas HaKelim, so kalim are thrown in there. Anything that could be used for the actual Beis HaMikdash itself will be used for it. And then whatever's left is going to be sold for Bedek HaBayis purposes. And what the Gemara is bothered by is that you are using, presumably what you're using is, apparently what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to use, funds for the Bedek HaBayis and use them for Kachem Mizbeach. So Amar Reb Chizkiya, so Reb Chizkiya says no. Kena Masnisa. As far as the explanation of the Mishnah is concerned, Lelishkas Bedek Habayis. In other words, when the Mishnah here is discussing the Lishkas HaKelim, so all the money that goes there is going towards Bedek Habayis. And then if something is going to be used to upgrade for Kachem Mizbeach, it could be upgraded. That's the correct understanding of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not against the rule in terms of which direction can you divert funds. You are allowed to divert from Bedek HaBayis to Mizbech, but you can't go in the opposite direction. Hadron Alach Elo HaMemunim. That is the end of the fifth parak of the Masechta. And this morning we begin the sixth parak of the Masechta. Shloshes Rei Shofar, Shloshes Rei Shulchan, Shloshes Rei Shachavayis Hayim B'Mikdash. There were 13. Now the word shofar, we're going to hear that word again and again. A shofar over here is basically a pushka, a large pushka. That was in the Beis HaMikdash, 13 of them in total. Why was it called a shofar? Stay tuned. That's going to be the first question of the Gemara. Shloshes Rei Shulchan, 13 tables, and 13 times that you bow as you are circling around the Azara. Now, Shal Beis Rabbi Gamliel, Vishal Beis Rabbi Chananya, Skana Kohanim, Hayu Mishachim Ba'arba Asrei. They would actually bow in a 14th location. What was that 14th location? Keneged Dir Ha'etzem, right by the chamber of wood. Wood was stored as fuel for the Mizbech and this chamber of wood. So they would bow down over there. Why Shekemah starts Biadan Me'avaseim? Because they had the following tradition passed down from generation to generation. Shesham Ha'aron Ganzu. That was where the Aron was being kept. Right, during the Bayis Rishon, the Aron was taken and put into Geniza. It was hidden. So who hid it? Why did he hide it? Stay tuned, coming up in tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, however, the location of where it was hidden was known, and so therefore there was a 14th time that they would bow down when they would pass that location. Here the Mishnah tells us, perhaps one of the most famous stories as it relates to the hidden location of the Aron during Bayis Sheni. So there was a Kohen who was Misasek. Now Misasek over here, the Mishnah is not really clear about what the Kohen was doing over there, but the if you look at the Gemara in Yuma, we're going to see this together in Mirtzah Hashem when we go through Yuma. So you see the Gemara in Yuma that's going to relate this story that we're learning right now. So basically the Gemara in Yuma says that he was doing things that were not serious. He was basically fooling around over there. And now he noted that there was something strange about the floor plan, something different about a particular tile. So Bava Amalachaveru is about to tell his friend, meaning basically what he found is that this must be an entrance to some underground tunnel, meaning he now realized that he was about to divulge a secret. So lo hispik ligmor sadavar ashiyatsa nishmaso. Now, as he was ready to share the secret with others, so he died. And v'yadu b'yichud shesham aron ganuz. And it's at that point in time that people understood, oh, right, he was about to reveal things that shouldn't have been revealed, and now it was understood that that's where the aron was in fact kept. Tani, the Gemara quotes the following braisa, ha-shofar salalu akumasayu. Now, as far as these shofars are concerned, so the reason why they're called a shofar is because of their shape. They were bent in shape. Tzaros milamalan, or chavos milamata, narrow at top, wider at the bottom, and narrow amayim. That's why you could put money in, but you can't take money out. Basically, like any one of our pushkas. Obviously, our pushkas are, you know, significantly smaller, but the same basic idea, where there's a way to put money in, but getting money out is going to be much harder. Obviously not impossible, meaning, right, yeah, eventually you have to take the money out, but nobody could just easily put their hand in order to take the tzedakah. The Gemara continues, regarding the Aron. Tani b'shem Rabbi Eliezer, Aron gala imahem l'bavel. Okay, when we were sent into exile into Galus Bavel, so did the Aron come with us, yes or no? And yes or no is now going to be subject to a machlokas. So according to one Brisa, the first Brisa we're seeing on this topic, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, it came with us to Bavel. So ma tamlo yivaser davar amar Hashem. Because if you go here over this pasuk in Malachim, so the pasuk in Malachim says is that we totally cleared out of Yerushalayim. Nothing was left in Yerushalayim. And ein davar, elashar dibros l'socho. Now when it says lo yivaser davar, davar is similar to the word dibros, which means that the dibros were not there. Now, when we say the dibros were not there, that's referring to the Aron that housed the dibros. V'cheinu Omer, the pasuk says, L'tshuvas Hashana Shalach HaMelech, Nevucha Netzar, Vayavieu, Bavela, Im, Klei, Chemdas, Beis Hashem. So we were taken to Bavel together with Klei Chemda. Now, Ezu Klei Chemdas, Beis Hashem, Zeh Aron. It's another reference to the Aron. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish Omer, right, as super unclear. Is he a Tana? Is he an Amora? If he's arguing with Rabbi Eliezer, and presumably that's a Tana, So presumably he's a Tana as well. Okay, but I'm not sure. So anyway, so Bimkoma Hayah Aaron Nignaz. The Aaron was never taken to Bavel. It was kept in Yerushalayim. It was just simply hidden. So Adal Dichsiv, we have a pasuk supporting that as well. Vayarichu Abadim Vayaru Roshe Abadim Min HaKodesh Al Pnei Advir V'lo Yeru Achutza. So this pasuk over here gives a description of basically something that was not seen from the outside. So that means to say that the Aaron is somewhere in Yerushalayim, put in Geniza, even during Galus Bavel. So the Ksiv Vayera'u V'at Amart V'lo Yera'u. Now, as far as the poles of the Aaron are concerned, they're seen, they're not seen. Which one is it? So Elanirin V'lo Nirin. So the poles of the Aaron that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so they could be seen, but not exactly. So Boltim Yotzen Kishnei Dadei Isha. What they're going to do is they're basically going to protrude somewhat, not through the curtain, but they're basically going to make an impression in the curtain. And when you see them from outside, meaning when you're standing in the Heichal, seeing the curtain separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so V'yotzen Kishnei Dadei Isha, looks like the chest of a woman. Okay, so so what we have right now are two opinions in terms of what happened to the Aaron during Galus Bavel. One opinion is that it was taken with them to Bavel. A second opinion is that it was hidden somewhere in Geniza. Rabbanan Amre, the Gemara now is going to cite another opinion. But Lishkas Yeraitzim Haya Aaron Ganus, it was hidden in the Lishkas Haeitzim. So Maisa Bekoin Echad Balmum, the Gemara now tells the story. It's basically a repeat of what we saw in our Mishnah with slightly more detail. So there was a Kohen who was a Balmum, right? A blemished Kohen, which means that he can't do the Avoda, but still he could do other services in the Beis HaMikdash. Notably, he can take care of the wood, prepare the wood. Shayomen Mefatzel Eitzim, Lishkas Dira Eitzim. That's exactly what he was doing. He was preparing the wood. He was peeling away at the wood to prepare it for burning on the top of the Mizbech for us. And again, he noticed a anomaly in the floor plan. And Baba Amar L'Chavera, so he goes and tells his friend, Bo Re'esa Ritzba Zoshi Mishtanim Mechavrasa. And he wants to show this anomaly that he found in the floor plan. Lo Hispik Ligmor Sadavar Achi Asa Nishmaso. And he died. V'yadu B'yichu Sheshama Aaron Ganos. And that's how people knew that's where the Aaron was hidden. Tani Rebbe Yoshia Hikish Alab Bekornos. So we have another Braisa where a Kohen noticed the anomaly of the floor plan. He hit it with a hammer, and Vyasa Asha suffered so, and a fire came out, and he burned him. Okay, so the Gemara now is just took us through a number of opinions in terms of where exactly the Aaron went during Galus Bavel. So either it went together with them in Galus Bavel, or it was hidden somewhere in Yerushalayim, or it was hidden in the Dira Eitzim. It could be that the third and second opinion are really one and the same. Doesn't necessarily have to be a third opinion, but okay. Anyway, those are our various opinions over here in terms of the Aaron during Galus Bavel. Okay, tomorrow we are going to talk about the number of Aarons that there were in total, right? Machlokas amongst the Tanaim, whether there was one or two Aaronos that were put together going all the way back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to be discussing who is responsible for putting the Aaron in Geniza. We haven't answered that question yet. So all that's coming up tomorrow, obviously an exciting daf tomorrow that deals with the Aaron. In the meantime, however, and also Shem Namishcha is a big part of tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, however, let's just quickly recap our daf. We're going to stop over here at the two dots. And just as a quick review of today's daf, so we finished off the purchasing of the tokens, redeeming them for the Nesachim. According to the Tanakhama, there are four tokens that one can purchase because there are a total of four different permutations of Nesachim. According to Ben Azai, there's a fifth. We quickly went over the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Ben Azai. The Gemara asked the question, for a female sheep that is in its second year, is that going to be a separate Nesachim of that of the female sheep of a one-year-old? The answer is no, right? To make a long Gemara a little bit shorter. And then, in terms of writing on the tokens so that the tokens will not be reused, resold on a different date. So the Gemara just simply gave more detail to the Mishnah in terms of dating it, giving it the day, giving it the Mishmar, so giving it the right month, so that it can only be used today and never to be reused on another occasion. We talked in today's daf extensively about the two Lishkos that were in the Mikdash. One was called the Lishka of Chashaim, literally the secret chamber, and the other one was called Lishka Sakelim. Lishka Sakelim functionally is just simply that anyone who had a kli wanted to donate it would put in the Lishka Sakelim. Any kelim that could be used directly by the Bedek HaBayis would be used. Everything else would be sold, and the funds would go to Bedek HaBayis. Lishka Chashaim, that's where Staka was collected and distributed. And so that Staka could be given in anonymity. And then for a good part of today's daf, from the Mishnah till almost the end of the Perek, so the Gemara discussed many different aspects of giving staka, many different considerations that we too many considerations right now to do in summary fashion, but many considerations in terms of giving staka, and that took us through the end of the Perek till the very end, almost the very end. At the end of the Perek, we just simply said that money that was Bedek HaBayis money can be upgraded and be used for Kachim Mizbeach if necessary, if we run out of the funds of the Kachim Mizbeach, but you can't go in the other direction. The Gemara for a moment thought that the Mishnah is against that rule, but the Gemara immediately said no. Our Mishnah is totally supportive of that idea. And finally, we started the new parak today, the sixth parak. We talked about the number 13, the Beis HaMikdash. 13 shofars, 13 shulchanos, 13 times that you bow, which then took the Mishnah on a tangent in terms of where's that 14th time that you bow, the place where the Aron is hidden, and then the Gemara discussed the various opinions of where the Aron was during Galus Bavel. One is that it went with the Jewish people into Galus Bavel. Another is that it was hidden somewhere in Yerushalayim. And a third opinion is that it was hidden right by the Lishka Sadir, which is consistent with our Mishnah, that it was hidden by the Lishka Sadir. And there were a couple of times where the identity of where the Aron was hidden was ready to be broadcast by a particular Kohen who wasn't that careful, and the immediate ramification is that the Kohen died, so that this information would be kept a secret amongst the Kohanim. Adkan, we're going to stop over here.